So I asked rhetorically last week at the 8 a.m. service where I preached, which means none of you heard it, is the chaos that we have going on from our southern neighbors going to be all we hear about week by week in every sermon? And the answer, which I also conveniently provided at the time, is no. We are not going to respond, as I said in this morning's sermon, to every whim and pronouncement that the orange wannabe dictator makes. I don't believe that it helps the conversation to just meet outrage with outrage or to escalate the heightened feelings that the current state of the world is creating at this point. In this, I am trying to live out one of my favorite scripture passages, which incidentally was one that we heard very recently. It's taken from the Sermon on the Mount, as we colloquially call it, from the Gospel of St. Matthew. And it begins with Jesus saying this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" And a couple of verses later, we are asked, "Can any of you, by worrying, add a single span, a single hour to your span of life?" I love these verses because they're very down to earth. Worrying does nothing, says Jesus. It can't add an hour to your life or a cubit to your stature in some texts. Not quite sure how big a cubit is, but I don't think it's very big. A quick web search of quotes about worry throws a wonderful selection of quotes from all over the world that seem to back up Jesus' very practical advice, including one from Randy Armstrong. Don't worry, I've never heard of him either. But he said, "Worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace." I do like that quote. And there is a twist. Jesus isn't telling us we shouldn't care, that we shouldn't care about food or clothing or shelter. Just as I would say that we shouldn't ignore what's happening in the US or in other parts of the world where people are mistreated, excluded, abused, persecuted, and worse. What Jesus is doing is reminding us that there is another way, just as in our reading this morning when he tells us to love our enemies. We are called to break the cycle. In the wonderfully pragmatic twist in the tale of this brief section of teaching, Jesus leaves us with this thought: do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring problems of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Or as the authorized, the King James Bible says so eloquently, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Wonderful quote. I think that rather than getting ourselves into the rut of worry and anxiety, Jesus is calling his hearers to ground themselves in the moment, to focus on what we can do, what we can address, what is possible. Jesus, in an occupied country facing the oppression of empire, speaking truth to power and in such a way that will put his life in danger, is not saying, "Don't worry, be happy," but "Do something, do what you can, and do not hold on to anxiety about what you cannot do." I am having to limit the time I spend with news reports. I'm still reading, listening to, and watching news reports, and doing so with helpful commentary and potential ways to take action where I can. So I'm doing what I can at this moment. I'm also finding those places of joy that will inspire and uplift me, that will sustain and ground me in these difficult times. Just as this morning I spoke of finding joy and the resilience that comes from joy in art and beauty, in community, in silence, in friendship. I could add more to that list I said this morning, in evensong, in prayer, in those I love, in humor, the list goes on. These are the things which we can use not only to get through these times, but to thrive. And when Jesus gives us these words that we heard this evening, he calls us to an aspirational way of thinking, and also does this from the context of ushering in a new way of being, a new way of relating to the world and one another, a way which Jesus calls the kingdom of God, or as we will often say here, the reign of God. In this kingdom, in this way of being, there is enough for all. The hungry will be fed, the unhoused will be sheltered, the naked will be clothed. For this way of being, God's household, God's economia, the economy, is firmly rooted and expressed through justice, equity, wholeness, and peace. So though I don't plan to be preaching in response to every little thing that happens in the US week by week, and I will seek to ignore the attention-seeking narcissist felon in charge as best I can, it won't be because I don't care, it will be because I do. And I refuse to buy into the outrage cycle, seeking instead to buy into a cycle of virtue where we affirm again and again that there is enough, that there is more than enough, that all are precious and all are loved, and that love wins, and that we all have a part in bringing about that divine victory of love. Amen.